Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Excited to get on the Rude Guest Hotline, talk with a Washington legend. Mr. Joe Theismann joins us now. Joe T., what's up, man? How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. That's a nice way to start my segment with the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
Enjoy that very much.
Now we have to get
the other things, right?
Yeah. I think our producer Jim Mullins there is saying, it's only four games. You don't want to freak out too much by one result. Washington's still very much a lot of football left to play. But damn, yesterday was ugly, Joe.
It was.
Yeah, it really was. I agree with you. I think that so many different aspects. You know, they made some big plays, and we didn't get a chance to. I think Marcus has played very, very well for us at the quarterback position. And our running backs have done pretty well. We just haven't been able to capitalize on plays when we need to on the offensive side, and defensively, the running game, you know, just creates an issue for us, it seems. And, you know, those are all aspects that you go from week to week to week to isolate and say, okay, we need to fix this. How are we going to fix that? And this is going to be a great test for us going out and play the Chargers, who have one of the best defenses in football and one of the best young quarterbacks in football. So, you know, but this football team has always managed to find a way to rise to the occasion, and I'd expect that same thing this weekend.
Joe, the tackling is a big issue to me. You know, people hit and wrap up. Today, everybody just bump people and think they're gonna fall. It was a disgraceful display yesterday. How do you get that changed up if the NFL and the NFLPA don't want people to practice football? How the hell are they gonna play football?
Mitch, you're so right. There's two areas where I think football has changed significantly from when you and I played. And not that we're going back in history and say in the old days, but no defensive backs wrap up anymore. You're absolutely right. Everybody wants to body block somebody. The other thing is if it's a big running back, none of the defensive backs want to take him on.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of him. That's the God's honest truth. They're absolutely afraid to hit a big running back in the hole. I watch linebackers. I watch defensive backs whiff, just completely whiff, or attempt an effort. You know, maybe they think that the film is not going to expose them, but I see that so much. And the other thing is wide receivers today, because they have a 5-yard rule, they can't get touched. Their route running is terrible. As a quarterback, you know, when we played back, you know, when I had Art and Charlie and Alvin and Virgil, you know, I insisted on giving me hints. That way I get the ball out of my hand. I can't anticipate where you're going to be. Now guys run through the holes so quickly, and I think that one position has suffered tremendously from a rule change as far as disciplines go. But you are so right about the tackling. The tackling is horrific, not just what we saw yesterday, but across the league.
Yeah.
Nobody's willing to step up and tackle anybody. You know, you have some – Buda Baker, for example, is one of those safeties that can do that. You know, Chin was that way. They're willing to stick their nose in and make plays. But now it's like, you can't get these guys on the ground throwing a body at them. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
I'm talking with Joe Theismann here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Joe T., you played quarterback at a really, really high level. You know how to kind of take apart a defense. When you see some of the coverage busts that the Washington secondary is having repeatedly, what do you see when you're watching that?
You know, I not only see it with us, but I see it with a lot of different teams. I don't think it's the complexity of the defenses, because now, you know, remember, and I guess, you know, Brian pointed it out so well. Nobody practices. You don't have time to prepare for the regular season because nobody allows anybody to hit. Nobody allows really much, many. You don't have any games to really analyze people. Your starters never play. So when you start the season on opening day, that should be your first preseason game. So you look at 2 or 3 weeks in, now guys are starting to find themselves. They're starting to find their condition. They're starting to learn how to communicate with one another. You don't get any of that nowadays in the off season. It's a joke. It's an absolute. And I, as a fan of the game, I'm insulted to have to watch a lot of this stuff on football and know that in week 3 or 4, I'm going to start to see decent football again. I mean, as a fan of the game, I love the game so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was very, very good to a lot of us. But I'm excited about the game. But what I see is I see guys putting the ball on the ground, guys not holding onto the ball, guys dropping the ball, guys not tackling, guys not blocking, offensive linemen jumping off sides. They can't even look at the darn ball when it's sitting there. I see so many things that are undisciplined, and that's a direct result of not being able to practice the way you're supposed to play. I was very insistent. When I ran a practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, to me, they were games. That was a game for me.
Mm-hmm.
There were no excuses. You had to know where you were supposed to be. I had to throw the ball correctly. It didn't matter. To me, it was all about that's another game for me, and Sunday became an extension of that. And now, unfortunately, because of the rules, the way the league has been set up, guys, you can't really approach it that way.
True.
You know, you sort of have to feel your way through it, and all of a sudden you get in a game. Now you got to put your, you know, pedal to the metal and get it going. We're not light switches.
Yeah.
You know, it takes time. It takes time to get us ready to go.
Joe, so I was talking earlier, okay? Like, at this level, you're a professional. You're the top of your class, top of your profession. And if there's something that didn't work all week in practice and not working in the game, I think players should have the right to adjust some things. And without, like, going against what the coaches say. Like, I did it all the time. Bobby Jackson knew I was going to do it. If it don't work in practice and it's not working in the game, I'm not going to keep doing it. I'm going to do something else. And if the thing I do works, then I'm going to try to implement that into my whole game next week. But do players do that? I know back in the day, guys would make adjustments in a heartbeat. Now, it's like they go out, they do something that's not working, but I watched the whole game yesterday, and I watched one route combination, and they never changed anything about it. And they just kept completing passes on that same route combination the whole football game.
Yeah, you know, there's two ways that goes, Mitch. First of all, if you find something that people can't cover, you just keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you find a kink in the armor, then you keep exploiting it, and you keep exploiting it until you stop. It's funny. You bring up a great point. Coaches tend sometimes to outsmart themselves. What they do is they have success with something, and then they say, well, geez, you know, they're anticipating that the defense is going to make an adjustment. Instead, we ran 40 gut and 50 gut
yeah.
So people's nose bled. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
We're going to run it, and we're going to run it, and we're going to keep running it, and we're going to run hitches, and we're going to run, you know, out routes. We're going to run things. If you can't stop them, we're going to keep running them. And even if you stop it once, it doesn't matter. We're going to keep on running again because
mm-hmm.
we believe in what we're doing. I think that, you know, some of this, you know, we got trapped in some bad mismatches yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're trying to cover Bijan out of the backfield, he's a load. I'm telling you, he's one of the best running backs in football with speed, power, and everything else. And the ability to catch the ball. I mean, he's a rare combination we see in today's game. We just ran into a great, you know, a terrific performance by a terrific young running back yesterday. But I think that, and to me, it was funny with Coach Gibbs, that it wasn't a democracy. Joe drew up plays. It was my job to read the defense and get the ball, as he used to put it, to the open receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Today, what I see so much in football is guys are willing to throw the ball up in the air, hoping that the receiver makes a play, or hoping that you get an interference call.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like, whatever happened to throw to the open receiver is what I'm talking about. But guys now also have input into the game. You know, the quarterbacks will get the game plans usually on Tuesday, have an idea. They'll sit down, they'll talk with the coach and say, I like this route, I don't like that route. Then they'll practice it, and if it doesn't look good, they'll say, you know, I just don't feel comfortable with this route, and they'll take it out. So there is more communication between the player and the coaches. But again, sometimes you try and outsmart yourself. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, you you can disguise the routes yeah. with a lot of different formation combinations. You run the same thing over and over and over again. It won't look the same when it starts, which causes a problem for the defense, but the end result's going to wind up the same.
The end result yesterday certainly winded up the same.
It did. You're right, JP.
Seemed like Atlanta just had something figured out and Washington couldn't stop it. You mentioned earlier that you've been pretty impressed by Mariota. I think in his two starts, he's performed certainly admirably for a backup, given his team. I mean, in the Raiders game, he was fantastic against Atlanta. I thought he did more than enough. The offense gave this team a chance to win.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you know, we had trouble stopping their offense. It's funny how our league is and how games are. The week before, the Atlanta Falcons put a goose egg up.
Yeah.
Didn't score. Then all of a sudden they come out and put 34 up against us. It boils down to when I watch a football game, and I usually sometimes have a little piece of paper next to me. And I'll sit there, and there'll be four or five plays in a game that determine the outcome of a football game. Four or five key plays make a difference. And they made four really key plays in that game, and we didn't get a chance to make as many. Mm. And, you know, the score was close enough to say it was one or two plays here and there. But it just didn't go our way. And I think, you know, we have to sort of take a step back and look at our football team and say, who are we're young in some places and we're old in others. And you know, the year we had last year was fantastic, but that year is gone. There were a lot of late wins in that game. There were miracle finishes in that season last year. This is a new football team with a new year to establish its own new identity. And this run that we've got coming up here, you know, Chargers away, Bears at home, Cowboys away, Chiefs away, Seattle at home, Lions home, then we go to Madrid with the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And then you finish the season with, you know, four straight division games. I mean, the schedule's not getting any easier. But you earn the right to be able to play a tough schedule because of your record the year before. And I think that, you know, this is going to be a game for us to get a real fix. The preseason's over in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's say, okay, the Chargers, they got beat by the Giants in New York with Jackson Dart, which was, thank goodness, the kid got a chance to play. I hope he doesn't want to play against us down the road, though, to be honest with you.
He looked all right.
He did, yeah. He did a lot of things well. He used his legs well and threw the ball well. But this is a chance for us to be able to go out and you know, make it happen. Everybody's beatable in this league. Yeah. Everybody's beatable in this league. And certainly going out to play the Chargers is going to be a challenge for us, but I believe this team's going to be up for it.
Joe, I keep getting asked, what's the identity of this football team? I haven't been able to figure it out just yet, but I would guess that they wanted to be running the football because they had two games where they rushed for over 100. Rushed for 150 yesterday. That's a very good output. Against Green Bay, they couldn't do anything. What would you say the identity of this football team is, or what should it be?
You know, I still think it's – Mitch, I still think it's trying to find exactly what it is. I think you know, Cliff looks for a balance. I don't think you could overstate the fact that Terry wasn't there. You know, without Terry, with Jaden, you know, you get two key individuals on the offensive side of the ball that make plays, that create those one or two plays that I talk about in a game that you have to try and find. You know, them not playing makes a difference to this football team. I think they want to run the football enough to be able to keep defenses honest. But I would say that we're probably a team that would want to, you know, maybe 60-40 throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even 65-35, throw the football a little bit, because you can get the ball out of Jaden's hands quick, and all those short passes become just like extended runs.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a complementary aspect to the running game. You know, the two young running backs are, you know, they're they're playing their hearts out. They're running hard. They're making plays. They're doing everything they can. But we're, you know, I just don't see this football team as lining up and running the ball 35 times a game and expecting us to be able to control the flow of the game.
Talking with Joe Theismann here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Joe, one thing that I keep going back to is, listen, man, they played four games. They're 2-2. There's a lot of football left. But for Dan Quinn said it yesterday. We start slow on the road. You just mentioned three of the next four are on the road.
Yeah.
At what point is that on the players, on the coaches to turn that around?
You just have to ignore it. You know, the football team that I was honored to be a part of, we didn't care if we played somebody on an aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean. It wouldn't matter to us. And Mitch, I know you feel the same way.
Yep.
Wouldn't matter. And that's part of establishing the identity. Of course, back then, you know, you had guys that played a lot of football together. You know, this team is still trying to, this is not the 2024 Commanders. This is an entirely different group, a different group of players, a different chemistry that has to be created. And now is the time they have. This isn't time for one of those player meetings. This is time where the guys have to come together. And Mitch, you brought up, you're going to have to tackle better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always asked, when I've had a chance to talk to different teams, my question to them is, which one of you is going to make the play that makes the difference in the game? Which one of these guys in this locker room is decided that they're going to make the play that makes the difference in the football game, to allow us the opportunity to win? And like I said, you knew one another when we played together. This football team is still learning about one another. Debo is new. You know, Larry's new. Terry was out. So, you know, you've got guys. You have to make plays. You have to catch the football. You have to be able to block well up front. You can't make stupid mistakes. You can't make mistakes. You can't wind up with first and 30, okay?
Yeah.
It's tough to overcome first and 10. But when you got first and 30, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to pick up 20 yards and then we're going to punt. What bothers me sometimes is the mental mistakes you make before the ball's ever snapped that creates issues and problems for play calling. And it makes it harder to be able to do what you want to do.
Joe, last one for me. It based on my own knowledge, I feel like it's going to be Jaden when we get to LA on Sunday. How much of a difference, how much of a boost is it to get Jaden Daniels back on the field for this team?
Marcus has been a great steward of the position.
Yeah.
I think he's really stepped in. You know, I would put him up there and say, you know, as far as backup guys that have to go in and play, I put him in, you know, near the top in the league as far as being able to adjust, not get a lot of practice time, be able to efficiently run the offense. He can do it all.
Agree.
Jaden brings a different element to it. You know, there's a degree of athleticism that he has. There's the deep ball accuracy that he has. You know, there's so many things that he brings to the table that are unique to the position that not many guys possess. So to have him back, I think, would be a confidence factor to know that they can do certain things in this offense they want. And, you know, the question with Terry, you know, is Terry going to be healthy enough to be able to play the game and have the impacts that he has? You know, wide receivers, it's funny. You know, if you get nine targets a game, that's a lot. You make seven catches, that's a big number. But it's not a lot of plays in the scope of the amount of plays that are being run on the offensive side of the ball. And so, if he can make one or two plays at a key moment, which he has time and time again, it makes a difference. So to answer your question, JP, I think, you know, if Jaden is able to come back and play, I think it's a plus. Yeah.
Joe, we appreciate you making time for us on a Monday morning. Seriously, thanks, man.
Love to visit with you guys. Take care.
Hi, man. Take care, brother.
It's our friend Joe Theismann, true legend of the Burgundy and Gold organization. Appreciate his time and honestly the perspective, because you got to zoom in on yesterday, but you also got to zoom out on the totality of the season.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Yesterday was ugly. Offense was pretty good. Matt Gay made all of his kicks, but damn. The defense did not get it done. Phone lines are open. Give us your blame pies. Phones will be open the rest of the show. We're all gonna talk. We're gonna talk our way through this. The boys, The boys talking ball. Maybe the girls, too. Everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
You know what else is starting to happen around here? Warm days and chilly nights and mornings. It's that time of year. It's almost October. Time to schedule a $99 heating and cooling check with my guys, the five-star heating experts over at Crop Metcalf. My wife and I love them. We have trouble. We call them up, and they're at the house usually within an hour or two. Now, for just $99, a Crop Metcalf certified five-star tech will inspect both your heating and cooling systems in one visit, making sure everything's running smoothly, efficiently, and ready for whatever Mother Nature throws at you. That means it'll boost your system's performance, that'll lower your energy bills, and if you have any small issues, we're going to catch them before they turn into serious repairs or replacements. That could cost a ton of money. A quick call to Crop Metcalf now is a small move that could really save you big when temperatures flip. Well, the last thing you want is to get to January and then your system just goes out and your house is freezing and you're moving your kids into a hotel. That's the kind of headache nobody needs. Do yourself a favor. Do what I always do. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Schedule your appointment today. Crop Metcalf is the home of the five-star technician.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Woo! I feel like Bleep You Thursday is going to come early. Phone lines are lit. I think people are mad, understandably. Defensive performance yesterday, just not good enough. The amount of tweets and texts I'm getting about, you know, fire this dude, bench that dude, fire this dude, cut that dude. I get it, man. You're pissed off.
It's not as easy to do that stuff that people say, though.
Andrew's in D.C. Andrew, you kick us off, man. What's the word?
Hey, guys. So I'm the one that asked last week about, like, the execution versus scheme. So for my blame pie, I actually think I'd go with 50% the players for not being able to tackle or lack of communication, which I don't know why we're having communication problems 4 weeks in. Somebody's got to buy these guys some earpieces. and 50% Coach Witt for the scheme. But it's kind of also hard for me to, like, blame Witt because, like, when I was watching the game, even, like, this morning, whenever he tried to play man, the coverage couldn't hold up. And then whenever he tried to play zone, the rush couldn't get home with just four.
All right. They definitely couldn't, man. I think you're right on this one, Andrew, that it is both. It's hard to say anybody defensively is not culpable for the result we saw yesterday.
A lot of people.
Trucker Dan is on the line. Trucker Dan, what's your blame pie, dude?
What's going on, fellas? Very disappointed. I called last week about Marshawn Lattimore, and same result. I don't know what's going on. I was watching the play, right? I don't know if it was Kyle Pitts or somebody. They did the little lateral when they run it from side to side, and I saw the players talk to each other like, hey, you going to take him? I'm going to take him. And the guy still ended up behind him. Like, I don't even understand that. Like, are they even practicing that in practice? Like, is that a thing? Are they, like, say they, do they put that together, like the offense versus the defense? Because I don't know. I can't even – is it Joe Witt? Is he not calling the right plays? Or maybe the players are not coming? But I do know Lattimore. He ain't up to it at all. And I think Tip, he need to get in this bag because he starts off slow. He gets hot at the end, but in the beginning, it seemed like the plays is just everywhere. And I don't know if DQ needs to take over the defensive, but that's all I can say, man. It's just frustrating.
All right, man.
Appreciate the call, man.
A lot of frustration.
I mean, dude, this game started about as poorly as it could. Atlanta went on a 9-play, 45-yard drive that they got bogged down when they got to the edge of the red zone. They end up kicking. Do you, like, so much transpired yesterday that it might not be even on your mind. Do you know what Washington's first three plays from offense were?
The first play was that little jet sweep or whatever.
So,
and I
jet sweep to Deebo,
they were
minus
waiting
3 yards.
For that.
So they go minus 3, then Mariota gets sacked on 2nd and 13, then you get a 3rd and 16.
Yeah.
And it was incomplete. I mean, it was
not many plays you could draw up that early in the game.
It was a pretty god awful first possession.
Let me go start.
Let's go to Fergus in District Heights. What's up, Fergus?
Hey, good morning, guys. B. Mitch Finley. Glad to hear from you. Look, man, I'm going to side with B. Mitch today, man. I was sitting watching the game with my son, who I coach for the local Boys and Girls Club. He was telling me, he said, Dad, them guys are not tackling. Those guys are missing tackles. They're not wrapping up. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing out there. I was like, yeah, that's right, son. That's right. And so I'll bring it down to, you know, piss poor tackling. Piss poor tackling, body blocking, pushing, and so forth. So, yeah, I'm going to have to side with you today, B. Mitch, on that piss poor tackling, man.
Appreciate you, bro.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call.
All right.
Folks.
PPT.
PPT is bad. OPP, good. PPT, bad.
Wait, JP, what the hell are you saying?
The last P, well, that's not so simple. I have an announcement. I've gotten a bunch of texts, tweets. My mom texted me.
What's up, baby?
The Odyssey app isn't working, but you can listen to us on the iHeart and the TuneIn apps. So,
let's switch over right now. iHeart and TuneIn app.
My concern is if somebody's trying to listen to us on the Odyssey app and it's not working, they're probably not going to hear my announcement that they can listen to us on the iHeart or the TuneIn app.
Somebody's going to tweet it. It'll get to them.
Yeah, have the station tweet it. I'll retweet that joint, Landfill. Have B. Mitch and Finley tweet it. I'm going to hit the retweet button.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, my favorite thing to do.
Vic is in Akakeek. What's up, Vic? What'd you think of yesterday, dude?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
So I'm going to get right to it. This is a triangular deficit from all three phases of the game. All three coaches being Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, and Joe Witt. And this is an organic thing. Now, you said, JP, let's not be reactionary, but it's things we got to consider. First thing we got to consider is, like you said earlier, why were we so flat? And why were we not prepared to play? And the sub products of that, we're still having a lot of penalties, still having a lot of drop balls, still having a lot of drive killers. Why are we still doing those things and coming out flat on the road? Second thing, yes, the caller was right. When we were running man, and sometimes we put ourselves in bad man situations, particularly when they run those double slants, and then Bijan comes out the backfield and he's wide open. It took B-Wag's eyes across his face, and he should have had his own coverage. We just got to the flat. When we're running man, we're not able to keep people in front of us. But when we're running zone, we're just covering grass. And the people are wide open with nobody around them for 5 to 7 yards on the left and the right side. And then why are we not tackling and finishing plays the way we were at least the first 3 weeks? Even when we lost to the Packers, we were still hitting and hitting and finishing plays. We got beat on some deep passes behind the defense. My blame pie is, Dan, you cannot get comfortable after we have a big winning season and we start relying on people to do their jobs without the accountability that you talked about all last year. That has to continue. Now, my optimism is we're still 2-2. There are a lot of good football teams that are 2-2. It's not the end of the world.
Agree
the Chargers lost to the Giants last week, and the Giants were 0-3. So there's things that we can fix, and they're correctable. But we got to fix them, or people are really going to start to say, this feels like the old Washington regime, not the new one.
It's a good call, man. I think, Vic, for what it's worth, that's what I try to strike a balance of, dude, what the hell's going on? These are real problems with big picture. You're floating along okay here. And I think you did a good job of doing that as well. Thanks for the call. Let's try my man Dickie is in Arlington. Dickie, what's up, dude?
What's going on, boys? What's going on?
We're live.
It seems that the team last year was an undersized, underrated, hungry group. It seems like the team this year is just ring chasing, thinking that they're just going to waltz back into the playoffs. No, man. What I watched yesterday, they taught me in Maplewood football when I was 6 years old. I'll never forget it. You wrap up and you put the guy on his ass. They didn't do that once yesterday. I mean, Joe Witt, what is this scheme? And, B-Mitch, I got a question for you on the Lattimore front. When a guy's making that sort of money in the locker room, are there other guys saying, like, come on, Marshawn, like, we know you're better than this, or is it more of like a...
Guys don't care if you're making that much money or not. If you're not doing your job,
exactly.
I would expect somebody to step to you and say something. Yeah.
Well, damn, frustrated as hell, but any given Sunday, we'll see you guys next Monday.
Hail Maplewood. A lot of good calls. We're keeping these phone lines up. If you're on hold, just chill. We're taking all the calls all damn day. A lot of frustrations over yesterday's performance. I do think we have a specific Marshawn combo, have a specific Wagner combo. I want to point out that yesterday with Wagner, when they ran those crossers at him and then Wagner had to try to get to the sideline for the Bijan coverage, I'm not sure there's a linebacker in the NFL that makes that play. And so if you're met.
It's damn sure not many people out there.
Like, that was schemed up really well. And then Bijan's a hell of a player. So if you are mad at Wagner about that singular play, I think you got to chill a little bit. Obviously, it can't happen because other teams are going to try to do the same thing. But, like, if it's a body of work thing, I get it. I just wonder where the speed is. Their struggles against motion, pre-snap motion and crossing routes have been a problem through four games. I have questions about the speed. We're taking your calls. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Commanders have a problem coming out flat in road games. Newsflash, 3 of the next 4 are on the road. Our guy Shane is on the line. Shane, what's your blame pie look like, dude?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Look, it's got to go coaching, right? The scheme, 80% to Joe. I mean, you don't let Penix looked like, you know, Steve Young out there. He literally looked amazing out there. And B-Rod had, what, 180 yards from scrimmage? It just shows you this defense is old. They don't have the speed. Like, there's no speed. Lattimore, right now, the Saints have won that trade with Lattimore. Lattimore, in my opinion, he's done. Like, his hips, he's done. Like, our secondary, and what's sad is that's the two best guys on our team right now in our secondary, and that's sad. Like, and it just goes to show you that Ron Rivera, when he was here, the needs that we needed, that he just – and it just goes to show you, you got to draft right. And the rest is on coaching. But you can't blame tackling, right? The bargaining agreement changed all that. These guys can't tackle no more. These guys can't put on pads no more. It's a soft league right now. You can't even practice. That's why all these injuries are out there right now.
Other teams are tackling. Other teams tackling, so that's BS. You can blame tackling.
That's true.
It's tackle
that,
football.
You know,
until you stop being tackle football, I'm going to blame – if you don't tackle, I'm going to blame your ass for not tackling.
I 100% agree, B. Mitch. But the thing about it is, it goes down to coaching, and it's an old, with the oldest team in the league right now. And our front four, we have no pass rush. And it's modern football. If you don't have somebody, a dog on that end to get to the quarterback and put some kind of pressure, you know, blitz, do whatever you got to do, you know, but we got to figure out a better scheme to just sit back and just let. And you know what? I feel sorry for us when the Chargers are going to eat us up. It's going to look like the Air Force. They're just going to bomb us away. But, you know, that's my opinion. But, no, we need help in the secondary bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, secondary seems like a real problem. Thanks for the call, Shane. Appreciate you, bud. Don't know kind of what the answers are on some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's going to be this, like,
it's not going to be a massive
dramatic change.
I mean, that's not going to happen. Right. And we know it's virtually impossible to do it right then. Then if you get rid of all those guys, who the hell are you going to bring in?
Right.
Because people on the street right now, they're on the street for a reason.
800-636-1067. Phone lines are open all damn day. Get your takes off, man. I know people are pissed from yesterday. Jaden is in PA. Jaden, what up?
Yeah, hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
Yeah, I think this is more of a expectation thing. Like, a lot of fans, and again, I was someone that had the Skins to win the division last year and to have a great year. So I thought Jaden was that guy, which we know he is. But this year, people were getting upset when people thought we were going to win 8-9 games, and I agreed with the people that said we weren't going to do that because our roster isn't that good. And I called a couple weeks ago. I think Peters, we've kind of anointed him a little too quick. Who are his hits in the draft outside of Daniels? Our roster isn't that good. I mean, yesterday, if you looked out on offense, it looked like preseason week 3 with Debo trying to get reps in. Like, Jalen Lane isn't a starter or a number 3 in this league. Luke McCaffrey probably doesn't even make the Eagles roster. Our defense, Lattimore was a terrible trade. I mean, Newton's okay. Samford still is graded as one of the worst DBs this year in the league. So I think last year was a perfect storm. But I think also with Dan Quinn, he's a defensive coach. So he needs to get his side of the ball right. And I know this might be just a personal thing. If you're one of the highest paid employees in the organization, which Dan Quinn is, I would like you to, like, call plays. Or I'd like you to be very hands-on, at least with your side of the ball. Because guess what?
DQ is very hands-on.
Most head coaches don't call plays.
DQ,
I mean, Andy Reid does, Shanahan does, McVay does. A lot of the top guys in today's day and age do. And it's like
Andy Reid has people right there with him. He calls some, they call the other. And it's been like that.
He's not even holding a sheet. Like, I would like Dan Quinn to be extremely involved with play calling. It's your side of the ball. And you're you're the highest paid coach on the, like, I would like you to be very, I don't know. I just think a lot of the top guys now are. Shanahan is calling the plays.
It's a little different offensively. Like, it's a little bit different. I hear what you're saying defensively. Like, maybe DQ needs to insert himself and demand that there's some coverage changes or something does need to change.
Who's the young guy in Seattle?
McDonald.
Is it McDonald? He calls the defense.
He does.
He is literally controlling the defense. And
that's younger. Like, a lot of young people do it until they find out it's hard as hell to keep doing
it. What I think does firmly land on DQ as the boss and, as you say, the highest paid coach on the staff, you can't come out flat on the road. And that's got to land somewhere. That lands at the top. And he owned it last night, and I do not agree with the sentiment that DQ needs to be more hands-on. He's very hands-on. The play calling thing, we can kind of agree to disagree, but you can't come out flat, and that's got to start with the head coach. As far as it's been very, very interesting with the secondary struggles this year, and I think they're real. I think Amos has been very good.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey played really well last year. He was forced to play outside. I almost wonder if he's better outside. Like, if that switch could open things up. Because Noah Ive played some good snaps for them in the slot. You know what I mean? Thanks for the call, Jaden. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, if you're on hold, stay there. We're keeping the phone lines up. I see Juke, Joe, Darrell, everybody that's on hold, stay there. Everybody's going to get a chance to talk today. There's a lot to question, a lot going on. The offense puts up 27 with a backup quarterback. That should be enough to win. If you're doing blame pies, and eventually we'll do ours, it's hard not to look squarely at the defense on this one. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.